Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It is 9/11/2020. And I will tell you what. This I'm going to talk about real quick because 9/11 is the day and we're 19 years after 2001, right? And I look at all of the pomposity and all the stuff, a lot of it, and the discussion. And I'm not talking about President Trump going to Shanksville or Vice President Pence. I'm talking about all of the Bush crowd and everything that was all over the TV this morning and all of that and showing all of the things and how quickly all this stuff is forgotten. Because I'm going to tell you what. This is what I have to say to all of those, and then I'll explain. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of the Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And, you know, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. On 9/11, let me just set it up even before it happened. If you were following Operation Bojinka and all of the information that was coming in and out of all of that, if you were understanding that Osama bin Laden and Salim bin Laden, who were brothers, were business partners with George W. Bush in a company called Arbusto Energy. Arbusto is Spanish for Bush, in Midland and Odessa, Texas. And that there was a story on that in the Wall Street Journal on that, and in the, and also in the, either the, Odessa newspaper, Midland newspaper. That was removed, however, from what I understand, from the microfiche. But that particular one showed Osama bin Laden and Salim bin Laden arriving in town to meet up with the local son, local, businessman, young George W. Bush. And they were forming Arbusto Energy. And they even had the picture of the bin Ladens in a blue convertible Rolls-Royce Corniche. And they talked about, oh, this is going to be a great company, and George W. Bush, son of Poppy Bush, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, boy, there are going to be big things. Then there happens to be an aircraft accident, allegedly, where Salim bin Laden gets killed. And then, without a lot of NTSB, but more like U.S. Air Force and Army involvement, Osama bin Laden is accommodated and they take the body of Salim back to Saudi Arabia or back to Yemen, where he was living at that moment, or Paris or wherever they lived because they were billionaires. But the fact that Osama bin Laden was a direct business partner with George W. Bush is kind of interesting, isn't it? Now that is true, and they were partners in Arbusto Energy, A-R-B-U-S-T-O Energy. So now there's a prelude. Now there's another prelude. On that morning of 9/11, I knew a man, very a smart guy, who worked for a TV station in a, not in New York or L.A., but let's say, and not Chicago, but let's say somewhere in the middle of the country, not Kansas City either, but just to let you know that it was a television guy who was in charge of making sure that the network was up and running and all of the connections to the satellites and all of the live feeds from New York TV stations were incoming into the station. And hours before the actual 9/11 attack, earlier that morning, the TV guy that I knew or know, he noticed that there was a live feed incoming from New York on a particular network, which I'm not going to name because I'm not going to name the network, but it was a particular network, a major one, let's say, news network, not Fox. And on this particular live feed, the cameras were pointed directly at the Twin Trade Towers. And there was audio on and everything. All right? And it was pointed directly, zoomed in on the Twin Trade Towers. Hours before the actual attack. So now, was that the live feed that they were showing President Bush when he was down in, what was it, Miami or Fort Lauderdale? I think it was Miami, wasn't it? Or Coral Gables or wherever he was at. He was in a school. And then I'm going to point something else out. He was reading a book about a goat to the children, to the young children. Now, that's very interesting because, you know, there is a certain goat. It's called Baphomet. That's the goat, or the goat of Mendez, head of Lucifer. And of course, W is reading a book about a goat to the children. Kind of interesting. Yet, allegedly, the guy who he was business partners with years before is the one that's directing the planes to attack the World Trade Centers and the Capitol and the Pentagon and all that stuff. Now, I'm doing all this from memory. I'm not writing it all down or looking at the book and all that, but I mean, I just remember a lot of this. So I remember them saying that Bush was shown after he left the room. He finished his story with the goat. Then he went out to the car and they looked at a live feed. That was the live feed that was coming from New York. That was seen hours before. Now, you also have before any planes hit, there was a guy, what was his name? The janitor, Rodriguez, of the North Tower, I believe. He was one of the last guys to get out of the North Tower alive. And Rodriguez testified that he heard explosions going off in the building before the plane ever hit the building. Now, the explosion's going off. They have tested some of the rubble and all that. They've also tested some of the stuff that the firefighters breathed in from the rubble and all that, and the cops, most of who have been dying, you know, right and left because of the cancer and all of the stuff they ingested from the smoke and the debris and all the stuff trying to save people and look for people in the wreckage and all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of them tested positive for thermite in the lungs. Thermite is sort of like Willie Pete for all the Vietnam War veterans. Willie Pete. It's a cutting. It's used for cutting metal, cutting charges. It'll go right through. So there were squibs allegedly placed, or just say detonator charges, of thermite in that building in those twin trade towers. And then those collapsed and they started blowing them just prior to the plane even hitting. So that is interesting in and of itself, is it not? And that was at Rodriguez. Now let's go back, and I saw Alex had it up. I'm glad he put it up. Alex Jones put it on his website, because he did warn back in July, I believe, of that year. And I remember I listened to that show that day back then, and Alex said, call the White House, tell President Bush not to allow bin Laden to blow up the World Trade Towers again. Because Alex had had some kind of a warning through Special Forces connection, possibly with his cousin or somebody, or from someone else that just gave him information. Because a lot of people sure seem to know about it. And whoever set the television cameras up knew something was going to happen. There was, prior to that whole scenario, there was a mysterious group of artists and painters. Let's just call them painters. People painting the inside of a building, or painting stuff on a building, that were in the Twin Trade Towers prior to that thing. They were painting. Were they painting on thermite? Some say yes. Now, Vladimir Putin had a woman who was his advisor, and she was the advisor on the economics and the effects of, like, Masonic, Illuminati groups, big money group type things, New World Order type groups, or occult type groups, and their effect upon the world economic structure. Her name was Tatiana Karajnaya. Tatiana Karajnaya. Now, for those who go back in the memory, they remember that Rick Wiles interviewed her in December and got a translator to interview her after, I think it was on 12/21, something like that, of that year. Or maybe it was 12/31 after Christmas. But Tatiana Karajnaya was, I think she was a PhD in economics, and then she also studied the effects of, like, high Masonic or Illuminati groups, or Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, CFR, and all of those kind of things, secret societies and their effect on economics. Putin was looking for input on all of that. She warned, as I recall, first time in March, she warned Russian businessmen and people, Russians who had money in the U.S. stock market, to get their money out, because there was going to be, later in the year, an attack upon the stock market and an attack upon America that would cause the stock market to go out the bottom. And she warned Russian businessmen to get their money out of the United States and to bring it back to Russia, or to take it somewhere else. She then warned for a second time, also in July, after Alex Jones had warned and told people, call Bush to the White House, he said, tell him not to allow bin Laden to strike the World Trade Center again, or to blow it up. And then if you go into all of this, it's kind of interesting. You read about the Project for a New American Century, PNAC, the PNAC documents, Project New American Century, PNAC. And you read all about that, and that was prior to W. Bush being elected. And that were the PNAC documents, And you read in there that there's a place that says there needs to be an event in the United States that would be so horrible, like Pearl Harbor, that would galvanize public opinion in the American country and the population, that would galvanize them and allow President Bush to go after the Islamic countries and the oil-producing countries and Iraq and all this kind of stuff. And they had a list of different names of places and all that. That's in the PNAC documents. Then if you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski, had a book called The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperatives. The Grand Chessboard was copyright 1997 by Zbigniew Brzezinski, published by Basic Books, a member of the Perseus Books Group. That was the copyright. 1997, Zbigniew Brzezinski, The Grand Chessboard. And in that book, in The Grand Chessboard, where he's saying that the United States needs to be the hegemon of Eurasia and overlord over the, you know, the Chinese and the Russians primarily. But in there, he has a little bit where he says that perhaps some Afghani Mujahideen would blow up some building in New York City that might cause a scenario wherein the United States could go to war and then become the hegemon of the grand chessboard of the hegemon of Eurasia. Well, first thing we did was go into Afghanistan, wasn't it? First thing we did was to go to Afghanistan. And then if you recall, prior to all of this as well, you had a situation where there was going to be a pipeline. I believe it was Union Oil and Chevron and different people, and that Dick Cheney, Darth Dove Hunter Dick Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice, who was on the Chevron board, allegedly, and there was a tanker, a Chevron oil tanker named the Condoleezza, okay? But there was an opportunity, you see, where they're over in Afghanistan, and they go to the Taliban and all of that, and they say, we'd like to build a pipeline here that would bring oil out, you know, of certain areas. Plus, there's all kind of, I think the third or fourth largest unexploited oil field in the world and gas field is in Afghanistan. It also has a ton of gold. It also has a huge lithium mine where they mine the lithium, and the Chinese have that contract. Not the U.S. But there's gold. There's all kind of minerals in Afghanistan and in those tribal areas. And that all the U.S. oil companies basically offered the Taliban. They said, if you give up Osama bin Laden to us, this is after the World Trade Center, first time, you see, and after the bombings, I believe, of Kenya and some other places, you know, where they were tying it to bin Laden, and they knew that he was training up in the mountains up in there and had training camps. They said to the Taliban, if you give us Osama bin Laden, you're going to get a carpet of gold. And then we're going to build the pipeline through here. And then Osama, working with the Taliban, says, hey, they ain't going to pay enough here. You need to up the price. He then suggested they go to Parabas out of South America. Parabas. Bank. And then they were offered more. So then there was a final ultimatum given by Dart Dove Hunter and that. And he also, Dart Dove Hunter was on a lot of oil boards, as were the Bushes. But, and then Poppy Bush and the Liedtke brothers were partners, allegedly, in the old days in Pennzoil, were the principals in Pennzoil Corp. The Liedtke brothers out of Chicago and George Herbert Walker Bush, Poppy Bush. And they're the ones that green-mailed Texaco and then won a judgment of $17 billion in the Texas Supreme Court that allowed Pennzoil essentially to take over de facto control over the Texaco board. You see, it's terrible to have a memory, you know, because you remember all this stuff, and then when you hear the current thing, you say, well, that's not who did the World Trade. They used Muslim actors. Some of them were Saudis and different things, pretty bright young lads. But they put them on planes, and there's trickery in the planes. But all this I'm talking about is prior to all of that. So you can have a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. Well, they chose the bombs, and then boom, there goes New York City, and bop, 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 and all the whole nine yards. Then you got the World Trade Center. And then the Shanksville, although the people did rush the cockpit, that plane was taken out by Air National Guard fighter jets who were on duty at the time, a unit called the Happy Hooligans. And that jet was bound for the Capitol building. Some said the White House, but others say the Capitol building. And then what hit the Pentagon surely was not an airliner, I'm telling you, because the entry was not as big enough to be one. And what I've seen in the video, the one time the video surfaced showing stuff incoming, it was not a plane. It was more like a, what you call a missile. But then you don't even have to go there. You just have to understand that Dick Cheney, the vice president, or Dart Dove Hunter, happened to be in the underground command center bunker in the Pentagon. And he had, I think it was either a Navy Lieutenant JG or a Navy captain were there with him. And he was there overseeing two or three drills at a national level, two or three drills in that area that involved aircraft attacking targets in D.C. and New York. So there was a drill scenario just like that. Just like on that day in 9/11, there were three drills ongoing that allowed DHS and various people to be already on the ground out there. FBI, DHS, the EIEIOs. So that's why I say, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? So, that's out of Matthew 23. There's another quote. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. So let's go back to Tatarani and Krasnia. Here's the report that she gave to Putin, and she gave two warnings. And the second warning in July, she said it would probably be after September 1st, which it was pretty quick, too sweet after. And that is on going warnings, two of them, plus Alex Jones' warning, And then there were other warnings. Canadian intelligence had stuff ongoing with undercover people. What was his name? Vreeland? Delbert or Delmar Vreeland, whatever his name was, who was a Canadian intelligence agent, and he had information that he got out of Russia that said from intelligence agents there was going to be people involved in taking down the Twin Trade Centers, and he, Delmar Vreeland, he reported that. They imprisoned him in Canada, Canadian, you know, secret police, Canadian intelligence, put him in jail under the orders of Poppy Bush or W. Bush, okay? The Bush family. And he wrote a letter finally out, got a letter out describing to the warden, describing all the things that were going to take place that he knew about, and he said there was going to be attacks on possibly the Twin Trade Towers in other different cities in the United States with aircraft, which happened. So when that happened, the warden kind of went to go get him and kind of had to ask him questions because he seemed to know. So, ladies and gentlemen, Dick Cheney, Dark Dove Hunter, was in the underground bunker at the Pentagon and overseeing the drills, these two or three drills that were ongoing, and he had Lieutenant J.G. or a Navy captain or Lieutenant J.G., and he was saying, Vice President Cheney, there's an inbound plane coming inbound, you know, for... the Pentagon, bup, bup, bup. And it's 30 miles out. What do you want me to do? Did I say I wanted you to do something? Just let it come. You know, okay. Then he says, Vice President, Cheney, this plane is inbound on a direct line that would hit this. And hit the Pentagon. What do you want me to do? Do you want it to be shot down? They were also talking about New York City, the Twin Trade Towers there. And there were reports of this inbound planes and that kind of stuff. Of course. Now, Cheney says to the guy when it's 10 miles out, did I change my orders that I gave prior to this? And the lieutenant Jay says, no, sir, you did not. And then kaboom! All the kabooms happened. And at one point in time, they said, okay, scramble some jets from, what was it? I believe Langley Air Force Base. But they did not tell them to put afterburners on. They said, scramble jets. Normal procedure, all under the guise of the drill. Only Dark Dove Hunter knew it wasn't a drill. And they allowed everything to come in and to hit, except the happy hooligans hearing stuff on the radio. They were tasked with the defense overflight of D.C. and New York and various places in the eastern, you know, seaboard there. When they heard there was another inbound, they hit the afterburners and went right to it and did, although the passengers were brave and did rush the cockpit, they took that plane out just as they were going to take out before the plane where Payne Stewart, the golfer, supposedly had a heart attack or a stroke or was incapacitated in some way. And they followed his plane that was going off course. So let's get back to Tatiana Karajna. Who did she say did it when Rick Wiles interviewed her in December after the September 11th. She said that her research showed that a group of men in the United States and in other places, at the highest level, she said, of the U.S. government, plus at the highest levels, and then Rick asked her, were the Masons involved, the high Masonic groups? She said, yes, but not like you think. It was the Death's Head group, the Death's Head group. Well, that's the Skull and Bones. Bushes were Skull and Bones. Kerry was Skull and Bones. A whole lot of them. Drinking out of Geronimo's skull, you know, for a cup. The people in the, you know, you're twin naked, you're both naked in the casket and all that bit. Yale University, Skull and Bones. The highest level of the Death's Head Society, she said, with the top people in the United States and a group of men from the U.S., Europe, and other places, Middle East, that were worth a total aggregate of over $300 billion. $300 billion. And the purpose of that and this attack was to destroy the economic system of the United States. And boy, you remember the stock market went down, kaboom! What did it go down to? I forget what it went down to eventually, 7,000, 6,800, something like that, the Dow. It was a huge drop. All of it. And the fear and all of the stuff, we went to war in Afghanistan, and then bingo, all of a sudden it was Saddam Hussein again. Of course, Dark Dove Hunter's company, which was involved with various people in rebuilding the defenses of Saddam Hussein after the first Gulf War. They rebuilt all the bunkers, the defenses, all that stuff, only to then go against Saddam again and transfer that over from the Bin Laden over to Saddam, you see. But what it was about was getting Iraqi oil or taking Iraqi oil out of the mix. And then you see, Poppy Bush had a lot of information about that because Saddam Hussein was put in power by George Herbert Walker Bush when he was head of the CIA, and then also the Leakey brothers and George Poppy Bush, tops of Pennzoil, when they won the judgment, Texas Supreme Court, for $17 billion against Texaco. They allegedly got the real books, allegedly, the real books of Texaco, showing that Saddam Hussein in Iraq, that Texaco was paying him 10% per barrel backsheesh, or bribe on every barrel of oil they got out of Iraq. And so then Poppy Bush calls Saddam up, says, hey, baby, allegedly I put you into power. Let's allegedly me and you split that 10% backsheesh. So allegedly that's what took place. They split the 10% per barrel backsheesh, 10% per barrel backsheesh, which back then was approximately, they split $15 billion a year between the two of them. So, Poppy Bush, a business partner with Saddam. Osama bin Laden, a business partner of his son, W. It just doesn't get any wilder, does it? Yeah, it does. Because here we are again. We're back in the swing of things. 19 years later, and everybody, a lot of people have forgotten. But Dark Dove Hunter was overseeing the drills. And then he skedaddled. When it happened, he skedaddled to Raven Rock, Site R. W. Bush is flying around in Air Force One, right? Finally lands up in Nebraska, right, at Offutt. And then he says, I want to go back to the White House. I need to get back there. And then he goes back. And so then the rest is history. But the modern history then brings you on up after that to where engineering people discovered that there were thermite charges placed, and they cut the building floors. They cut the things. And, oh, I even saw the other day a real neat, real cool thing about how if you apply heat to a certain bolt and bop, 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 and all this stuff. But yet the evidence showed that when a plane hit a tower over in Spain, it didn't collapse. Caught on fire, but it was similar construction. It didn't collapse. But when you put thermite, you paint thermite on all the beams, you ignite that and boop, 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 and it pancakes down. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm not all teary-eyed about it. On the other hand, we lost a whole lot of good Americans in those towers, in the airplanes that were passengers. We lost people in the fire department, the police department, all of the different people in New York City that they're ringing the bell and reading their names off at the towers, at the Tunnels to Towers Foundation. But the one at the site, oh, no, you can't go there, COVID, you know. But goodness for the Tunnels to Tower people who read the names again. Oh, and then now what do we have? The same group of people, the same New World Order Illuminati types trying to destroy the United States again. They're catching, they've caught people. If you go to stevequayle.com, he's got a report from somebody who talked to a neighbor who works for the Portland or the Oregon Power Company. And they said they caught somebody setting fires. And then now some of the people, they say the Antifas, are going into homes that people have already evacuated out of. And they're setting fires. We've also saw the laser or the scalar type weapon used to start fires in California. From up there by Observation Peak, Highway 395 near the Nevada border, near Honey Dry Lake, south of McDonald Peak. I don't believe it was in the Malheur refuge up there. Dutch thought it might be, Dutch Sins. But what I saw matched up more with the Observation Peak. And for your instance, a lot of dry lake beds are where there are underground bases. China Lake, does that ring a bell? You know? White Sands, does that ring a bell? Not a dry lake, but a similar type of scenario out and about. Tehachapi, the Skunk Works, out in the middle of the desert, aren't they? Was Tehachapi and all that, isn't that by the Chocolate Mountains? Oh, if it ain't by the Chocolate Mountains, there's another one over there. So the same evil people who worship Lucifer the Lightbringer, and you got George Soros and all of his people trying to overthrow the United States government. And there's, at, I believe, stevequayle.com, there was a good article by, I think it was by a CIA, a guy named Nadiz or whatever, who was a CIA agent, a NOC or an actual field agent, that said that what's going on in America is an insurrection that's being paid for and financed allegedly by Soros and other groups. And, you know, I've seen the recent things that the Ford Foundation allegedly is paying for a whole lot of all of this and paying Biden and Bernie and all these people and then funding through Soros Open Society, allegedly funding all of these Antifa groups and the BLM. Then you got all the big corporations who are run by people who are put in power by the major shareholders are usually New York City, London, Zurich, money center banks own generally this control the stock of the largest corporations. So, old Dr. Eugene Schroeder, the veterinarian from Campos, Colorado, one of the smartest guys I've ever heard talk to, just talk to him regular at Mid-America Constitutional Conventions and at other preparedness expos. But I remember Dr. Schroeder used to go around to like different areas in the country. And he was the United Farm Workers. They took the tractors around Carter's White House and gunned the tractors outside of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue, you know, and revved them up and honked horns. And they brought somebody out of the White House to talk to Schroeder and his people. And they said, what do you want? What is it you want? He said, we want parity. We want parity on the price of corn and beans, et cetera. Parity with other products in turn that they've increased. Because at that time, corn was around $2 a bushel. And that's the same thing it was in during the Great Depression. Or when the windstorms and all the dust storms happened, the Dust Bowl. And they wanted parity on the price of farm goods, commodities, that would put them in parity in terms of inflation with other things, that would allow farmers to be prosperous without having to own 10,000 acres as a corporation or something. Or just to be somebody big, like there's a guy in Central Illinois that family has owned 100,000, 200, 300,000, owns several parts of acreage in several counties. One of the richest people in Illinois drives an old pickup truck. So the same people at the top with titular headings of the Queen of England and the Rothschild family, and it used to be the Rockefeller family, although not as much, Ternun, Texas, Orsini, the other people that own the London Gold Exchange and different people that you've never heard of. I'm not talking about the regular billionaires they hire to be the richest man in the world. I'm talking about Chinese trillionaires, Rothschild families that have trillions that control it. But they hide it and it's split up. Or that like the Rockefellers used to own all of Standard Oil, but then Standard Oil become Exxon Mobil, Standard Oil of Ohio, Standard Oil of Indiana, this one, that one, and the other one. And then they also had a corporation over in Japan called Sony, Standard Oil New York. You see how this is, ladies and gentlemen. Once you study, and we don't talk about that so much anymore because we assume that people know, but there's young people coming up who don't have a clue about it. Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, Skull and Bones, Illuminati. They have people that are controlling most of the money in the world and own most of the land and most of the industries and commodities. And they work for Lucifer the Lightbringer. The Rothschild family, by their own documentation, says they're descended from Nimrod and Semiramis, allegedly, who were the original practitioners or some of the original practitioners of black magic on the planet. Related then to the fallen angels, you see. and the Anunnaki, right? For those of you who haven't seen it, I sent it out to a few people in the email. Look at YouTube for, and this was sent to me by, oh, let's just say Mr. Sackett. Mr. Sackett sent it. T, Mr. T. Sackett. And anyway, it's a YouTube video. It's called Giant of Japan Military Parade. And this is a parade back, I think, during the times of like World War II, somewhere in there. And there is a giant walking down the street in the parade. And I would assume, looking at the people that are standing there, the men who are the tallest men, like the soldiers, their head height is about at his knees. So we're talking about probably three times the height of somebody. So a giant that's at least, I would say, at least 12 to 18 feet high. I think he's more than 12. I think he's probably more like 15 feet. So this guy, you see him walking in a modern setting, and it's not a fake. And you also see him in a like a geisha house where he slides back the shoji screen, and he's looking at the geisha, talking to people out in the area there and doing tea ceremonies, and he watches it. So he's been hidden for all these years, probably under some control of the old daimos, whoever the military people, and that would be the people in Japan at the prior to World War II that ran the kiretsus, that ran the big corporations or the company. So anyway, we've got a direct linkage in showing that. I found was very interesting today. That was sent to me. Giant of Japan Military Parade YouTube. Incredible footage. So, with all of these people, the New World Order Illuminati crowd who worships Lucifer the Lightbringer, once again, just like 9/11, they are getting ready to just trying to destroy this country again. President Trump is fighting them because, you see, he's a billionaire, but that's not a lot of money. What's Bezos got now? $250 billion, something like that? $200 billion? You had Warren Buffett and Bill Gates were like something like $50, $60 billion. At one point it was Adnan Khashoggi. Another was the guy in Mexico, you know, whatever his name was. They're worth $50 billion, that kind of stuff. Well, heck, man, I saw on Sherman Skolnick, skolnicksreport.com, which you'll have to look that up and you'll take you somewhere else. But on Sherman Skolnick's report, I saw the handwritten notes of a Treasury agent, and I've read this on air before, that showed that Poppy Bush family, he was investigating them back in the late 80s, and that they had on hand, just in cash, not land, not stock, not bonds, not oil wells, not rigs, that kind of stuff, but just in terms of cash in banks that they had. And he listed the bank and the amount, listed all these bank savings loans and the amounts. He totaled them up, and he got approximately $54 billion in cash that belonged to Poppy Bush. Well, that was as much or more than Adnan Khashoggi, who was, quote-unquote, the richest man in the world, according to Forbes. When they busted out Adnan Khashoggi, you see, then he had gone to Utah because he liked younger girls. But Adnan Khashoggi allegedly was scared of the AIDS virus. So he figured that the Mormons would be less likely to have that. Khashoggi is the one that allegedly took Brooke Shields and her mother to Africa on a safari, okay? Because he was enamored by young Brooke Shields' pictures back in those days in the Playboy and various places when she was very young. And she also made the movie Blue Lagoon, you know, and they were, you know, I don't know how old they were, 15, 16 or whatever kids. But Brooke had been posing, her mother had had her posing nude, essentially, since she was about 12 or whatever. But Khashoggi was like that. Well, anyway, he was just a hired richest man in the world. So, this is the same crew, but with new faces and younger generations. Rothschilds, Queen England, Rockefeller family turning Texas out of Regensburg. Queen Beatrix and all of that up in Holland. All the other queens and kings and potentates, all right? The usual suspects there. Other money center bankers in the big cities, New York, Chicago, you know, Zurich, Lucerne, Rome, you know, Vienna, Paris, London, of course, plus in the Middle East, Saudi princes, different people like that, and then also the Chinese trillionaires. They're now trillionaires. Like the Li family. So I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to destroy it again, and they've got the hellfires of the West ongoing, which the Russians, after the breakup, the you know, of the Soviet Union, Steve Quayle interviewed a guy who had been with Russian intelligence way back in those days. And they said, when you see the attack coming on the United States, you will see the whole West Coast aflame and with forest fires and that kind of stuff. So now we've got, and Brother Quayle put up tonight, the Chinese-India war that the India and Japan have formed an alliance to go against China. Taiwan is also supposedly being overflown by Chinese jets. We've got assets over there in the Penghu Islands, okay? Got SEAL teams, some Navy operations there. We know that from Operation Dinner Out, the Robert Redford and Brad Pitt movie, right? Operation Dinner Out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a man arrested, charged with arson in connection with Southern Oregon fires. At 8:46 a.m. in front of the World Trade Center, there were no taxis, according to Lady J sent a picture. I don't have time to look at it, but I think she sent in a picture. But those towers were taken down with thermite cuttings, and then Building 7, the World Trade Center Building 7, which is the command post, the New York police and city and all of that, the owner of those buildings, Silverstein or Silverstein Group, the fire captain or whatever gets on there with him and says, well, such and such, we're real close to the Building 7. What do you want to do? And then Silverstein allegedly at the time on that phone call said, let's pull it. In other words, hit the detonators, kaboom, and then destroy Building 7 as well. Now, ongoing down below, interestingly enough, in that whole area, there are tunnels down there that there is gold that was in Federal Reserve Bank. And then across the street, you got the J.P. Morgan Bank, allegedly, and supposedly there's a tunnel that connects those two banks, and they move gold bullion back and forth. And then did some bullion get moved out completely and taken down tunnels and taken out somewhere? And then were tungsten bars put in with the thick gold plate? Huh. You ever hear of that? I have. So I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars, are we not? We're about ready in a lot of cases with China and Taiwan, all right? You got Japan, India versus what would be China, and then also Pakistan. You got the MMV and somebody working the weather to put the Chinese Three Gorges Dam in jeopardy. That is a war, act of war that took place after their act of war against us to destroy all of our crops and all of the livestock along the Missouri, Mississippi rivers. To also, after years ago, remember when the hurricanes were coming from Africa? And back then I said, hey, there's a source over there in Africa, and I was looking at the Mimic that was shooting hurricanes, pow, 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 right at Florida and into the Gulf Coast and the Carolinas. One after the other, remember the hurricane went across Florida into the Gulf of Mexico, then, quote unquote, backed up and went back across Florida, then came back in. You remember that one? Too many names to forget, or Katrina, or all of these things. All of these things have been manipulated storms, and a number of the hurricanes were being sent by the Red Chinese out of Africa. As a matter of fact, who was the Secretary of Defense? Rumsfeld, even allegedly, from what I heard from the backside, or the, you know, old dark 30, or the dark, you know, just background information, deep background. Back then, was that Rumsfeld got a hold of the Red Chinese and said, you better quit sending them damn hurricanes at Florida, or we're going to go after you. Don't go into their loose period knife out of fight. Stand for Lord Jesus. Stand and protect your family. Go out and prepare tonight, tomorrow. Food, water purification, water storage, ammo, antibiotics, NBC gear, camping gear, warm clothing, old guards. Ladies and gentlemen, want to keep old Hawk in the game? 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Grand Village, Kansas, 668. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356. Great. Hey, Lord, turn it to you 10,000 folks.